What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? Welcome to Business Vibe. Today's interview is with a good friend of mine, Joseph Bryant, owner of virtual assistant company Logo Solutions and home service company Rise and Clean Home Services. Joe shares how he found a mentor, how he markets his different businesses, and what role mindset plays in his massive success. Enjoy.
Thank you, Joe, for meeting with me. If you don't mind, we'll kick her off.
Let's do it, buddy.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
All right. So, you know, my name is Joseph Bryant, Joe Bryant. I'm the owner of Rise and Clean, and I also own Logos Administrative Solutions. I'm a jiu-jitsu instructor at Genesis Azel Jiu-Jitsu. I've got a few books published as well. Rise and Clean is a cleaning service. We do commercial residential cleaning services, janitorial, window washing, power washing, Airbnb management services, a little bit of carpet cleaning. And my other business, Logos Administrative Solutions, is a virtual assistant agency that assists other small business owners, which kind of spawned off of Rise and Clean in a way. As for my background, I bounced from jobs as a young man, you know, bit of sales, bit of construction. I was a cashier. I was a waiter, things of that nature. I was selling snow guards, like copper snow guards at one point, just, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And then I found my way. I met my first mentor. And I got into the roofing business. And then, you know, he owned a few businesses at the time. And the roofing company was like, it seemed like a side project for him. It's just him and I based out of his garage. We grew that roofing operation and it spanned across 5 states. And it got to a point where my role became throughout my 20s, but I was traveling from location to location to location to hire, train, and, you know, basically reproduce salespeople and teach them how to generate leads, close deals, do roof inspections. You know, as you and I talked about a little bit, that was my primary gig for a long time. And then Rise and Clean was just kind of a little bit of side money, a little bit of side hustle there. You know, after I parted ways in the roofing industry from my mentor there, my wife and I decided to take Rise and Clean a little more seriously. It has grown significantly in the past 7 years, 7, 8 years, something like that.
And so what inspired you to start Rise and Clean? You said it was kind of a side gig.
So a few things, like, I'm always open to additional avenues of income. I think it's important to have multiple avenues of income. My wife grew up in a cleaning company, basically. So she has crazy amount of knowledge about, and forgive me guys, I'm not speaking as clearly as I usually do. I just got my lip busted open this morning in a jiu-jitsu class. So she had a lot of experience and just a crazy amount of knowledge about cleaning that is beyond the normal, like how to make copper shine, how to get stains out of granite, how to do all kinds of stuff like that. And we were just sitting on that knowledge. And we would have a lot of, you know, with the roofing business, we're in a lot of homes. We're getting to know people. And they're always asking for referrals. Who do you know who does this? Who do you know who does that? Who do you know who does this? And a lot of time we'd get people asking for cleaning companies. So I would sell the roof and then, you know, not push it ever, a little unprofessional, I guess. But if it came up and they said they're looking for a housekeeping service, well, actually we have a couple gals who we can, you know, more happy to get you a quote here. So we just kind of started as a little bit of icing on the cake, so to speak. And then over time it began to pick up some considerable momentum. And now, you know, we're a member of the Chamber of Commerce here in Azle, Texas. We take care of some of the biggest companies and other businesses in the area for their janitorial services. So Rise and Clean is pretty established now.
That's so cool. And so as you were growing Rise and Clean, when you were still working for that roofing company, how did you balance that workload?
So, you know, and that was something that began to change and shift over time, because again, in the beginning, it was more like an afterthought. If someone wanted cleaning services, cool, a few extra dollars in the pocket, we'll schedule it up, not a big deal. Maybe we get a referral, maybe a lead comes in organically, great, not a big deal. But I wasn't committing a whole lot of time to it. And then, you know, it kind of grew organically to a degree. And then when I decided to part ways with my old mentor there from the roofing business, I turned to my wife and said, well, you know, I could join a new roofing company. I could start. And I had a few people asking me to start a roofing company. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. I felt a little jaded on the industry at that point in my life. So I was like, well, we already have something that has roots, that has a foundation, that has income. Why don't we just pour more effort into that and, you know, actually begin to water that field a little bit and see what can bloom? And, you know, there's pros and cons, right? Different industries have different pros and cons. Like, so to compare the two, in the roofing industry, if you're going out and selling roofs, you might go days, or if you're not skilled or experienced, you might go weeks without a sale. But when you get a sale, that sale can be thousands of dollars, which is nice. Deals for the cleaning business are much smaller ticket items, but they're recurring consistently. It's slower, smaller income, but it's safer and compounding over time. So when you're able to have, you know, I like to have steak on the plate and some sides. You know what I mean? Some mashed potatoes and gravy or something here. So, you know, it was evolving from a side dish to the steak on the plate. And, you know, with the cleaning business, it began to grow organically as well, because initially it was just housekeeping. And then, you know, similar pattern, we would get people ask, well, who do you know who does windows? I don't know. And eventually I would turn down windows. So eventually I said, all right, well, we're doing windows now. Same thing with power washing. People would ask, we do power washing. And then eventually I'd say, hey, you know what? We do power washing now. Airbnb management side of things began to grow organically. We stumbled our way into that. And that has proven to be a very lucrative niche. And it's fun. It's cool. And it allows you to, it's a doorway into more gigs, right? Like stepping into full on property management at that point.
Because you kept your ear open, because you kept, you know, looking, it helped grow it organically.
Yeah.
When you left your roofing gig, what was that like? Were you ready? Because it kind of sounds like maybe you weren't quite at the point of being ready to take this full on, where it was like a transition moment to, well, I could do that, or maybe I could do something else.
So yeah, you picked up on that well there. You're correct. I wasn't quite ready, you know, and there was some things going on behind the scenes where the relationship with the mentor and business partner was beginning to dissolve. I think, you know, again, I don't want to speak ill, but I think he was going through some things in his personal life and he wasn't treating people as well as he could have. I mean, and this was the guy who taught me about communication and empathy. I mean, this guy was more like a father to me than a lot of people in my life. But the relationship soured, and I'm still very appreciative and grateful for the time that I spent with him and the things that I learned. But I definitely realized that it was time for us to go in different paths there. And I wanted to start building my own operation where I could guarantee things were done ethically and honestly and everybody's being treated respectfully. And that's, you know, a big important aspect that's coded into the DNA of Rise and Clean.
You described a moment where your business was gaining traction. It kind of felt like it was coming out of nowhere. Was there like a particular event or actions that was like, oh, okay, this is really what helped build this and gain that momentum?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint those kind of moments, because I always liken building a business to like farming, right? Like you plant a seed and you kind of trust the process. Like you don't dig it up every day and say like, you know, look at the seed and be like, why isn't it producing fruit yet? Day four, day five, what's going on? You kind of just trust the process. I just kind of focused on the grind, focused on the actions, focused on my inputs. And, you know, because I'd had the experience of growing the roofing business, I knew what it was like to trust the process. And we talk about this in martial arts as well, is that, you know, you don't do like one, two, three count, you know, do so many training sessions and you're at a certain level. You just focus on doing your repetitions, doing your technique, you're working, doing the inner work. And then you just trust that over time, results will be yielded. So it's hard for me to put my finger on exactly what caused a tipping point. It's taking the fundamental actions of marketing, networking, building your administrative, you know, setup, your protocols, your standard operating procedures, and then beginning to put more effort and consistency into it. Again, like martial arts, just long-term compounding effect of having the right habits, the right inputs, of trusting that your marketing will produce results, and then not getting discouraged when it's not happening as quickly as you like. It, you know, right now I feel like I'm looking at a level that I wish I could get to, but then a few years ago, I would look at the level I'm at now and think like, there's no way I can get to where I'm at. So it's just about kind of, again, trusting the process and focusing on what produces results and not getting distracted or too divided by whatever's trendy or cool in the entrepreneurial world right now, but just focusing on like what produces results, what puts jobs on the boards, do more of that consistently, and then refine your processes.
What have you found that's really worked to move that needle as far as this is definitely working? I'm going to keep doing this.
There's a few different directions I could go to on that topic. But for any small business, especially trying to get their foot in the door and get moving, get momentum, lead generation is where it's at. I always recommend learning how to build in-house lead generation procedures, especially for small service-oriented businesses. There's a lot of companies and platforms and technologies out there and freelance specialists who are more than happy to take your money and produce mediocre at best leads for you. And there's so many different routes you can go down that road. And I've gone down them. And I'm not particularly natural or talented at this. I've just done exhaustive trial and error. I've tried Yelp. I've tried a handful of times. Thumbtack, Angie's, this and that, right? And I've just never found a good outsource lead generation process that produces the quality of leads that I want. Right? Like you can, there's a lot of companies doing great with sites like Yelp and Thumbtack and whatnot, but I'm sure they would agree that they're sorting through a lot of dud leads as well. So if you want quality over quantity of leads, it's important to learn how to generate through an in-house systemization to generate your own leads in-house that you turn into procedures that you can then copy and paste for other people to come in and replicate what you're doing. And that's what I learned in the roofing business when I would go from Chicago to Indiana to Tennessee to Texas to Michigan and rinse and repeat. Like I would hire salesmen. I'm like, here's the main 4 to 7 things that I do to generate leads. If you do these, you will generate leads.
Basically like that across like most all forms. So like direct mail and everything, you just find a way to do it. That's the way we've tried it a million ways that way. This is the way that's going to work. Let's keep doing that. So now you have multiple channels and SOPs for all of you.
Correct. And, it's important to find, avenues of lead generation or strategies or tactics that actually put leads on the board. And then you begin to layer them on top of each other. And that's when the compounding effect magnifies significantly. And you start getting more and more high quality leads at a faster rate. So I went from a point to struggling to try to put leads on the board. I have to periodically turn our marketing off because we get so booked.
Well, that's a great problem to have.
It's a good problem to have indeed, sir.
Like I know I don't want to beat a dead cat here, but like, have you found like maybe one or two of these channels that are just blow away all the rest?
Absolutely. And I'm going more in depth into this in my next book that I'm writing. I'm finishing my fourth book, which focuses on lead generation tactics for small businesses. Some which are might be twists on common ways, and some that might be a little less common. Facebook groups. If you're not leveraging the power of Facebook groups, you're missing out big time. And again, that has a compounding effect. And I can go on about ways to utilize Facebook groups because I talk to a lot of other small business owners. I do a little bit of consulting myself as well upon request. I'll tell people Facebook groups, say, oh, okay, I'm using Facebook groups, but I'm not getting anything. I'll say, how are you using Facebook groups? Show me what you're doing. And, it's like being involved in a community, right? So like a big part of it is, and I would replicate these strategies from market to market to market whenever I moved around in the roofing business. The obvious ones, you want to do your own posts. You want to throw your posts in there. You want to follow the rules because some groups, like you want to find local Facebook groups. So I'm in Azle, Texas. So I'll join Azle, Lake Worth, Springtown, Weatherford Facebook groups. Some of them have different rules. They'll only allow you to post on Monday or only post on Friday. Adhere to those, which sometimes I've slipped up, and otherwise they'll kick you out. So you want to make sure to hear those groups. You want different kinds of posts. Okay. There's direct marketing attacks, which are good, where they produce results. But many of us, in this modern day, we just have seemed to have evolved this ad filter in our brain. So the moment where people are scrolling and they perceive that they're being advertised to, they quickly scroll on, right? I think a lot of us are like that. Except maybe those of us who like to nerd out about advertisement post and we'll like analyze it, like not bad, Mr. Competitor. So there's direct posts that are like direct attacks. There's ones where it's like I kind of call like getting to know us posts, where it's like, hey, here's the team at Rise and Clean. We went on a hike together, or hey, here's the team at Rise and Clean. We I took the team out to see Deadpool the movie yesterday. Or I'll do like getting to know individual members of my team. Like, hey, you might see one of our team leads, Phil. Here, Phil likes to do this. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He was a soccer player. He does this and this. So it's kind of broadcasting our signal but we're not asking for anything in return. We're not directly advertising to you. We're just saying, hey, get to know our team a little bit. There's another kind of post that I enjoy doing, which is posting about other local businesses. And this is a whole topic that I could dive further into, but you want to form alliances with other small business owners, not unheard of, but you kind of want to encourage them and you kind of teach them, train them in a way to market you the way you market them. And I always start this relationship by, you know, like say, Corey, you own a local, you're a local realtor. So I'm not going to tell you to say, hey, Corey, start marketing me, please. But I'm going to show you, hey, I'm going to make a post from my business page in a local group. It says, hey, meet my friend, Corey. He's a great real estate guy. He's a sharp dude. You know, he knows a lot about X, Y, and Z, and he's just a friendly guy. So if you need a good realtor, talk to Corey. So again, this is me broadcasting the Rising Clean signal out into the world. I'm not asking for anything. In fact, I'm putting someone else up. So, you know, I'll periodically just promote another business or another service provider of some kind. And just to show that, hey, I'm a part of the community. I'm involved. I'm not always just trying to take. I'm trying to give sometimes as well. And this is like farming. Like, I'm not going to tell you, you're going to post one time about someone else, then you're immediately going to get rich and famous, right? Like, these are the kind of things that take time, and we begin to layer different types of posts over time, and people just begin to just know your company in the area.
We also hear about like how powerful word of mouth referrals are. Do you see that too, being that in your business?
Of course. Of course. You know, word of mouth, you know, there's, again, I'm a martial arts nerd, so I always draw comparisons, but like the fundamentals, just like we talk about martial arts, the same thing in business. Like, there's all kinds of new, cool, fancy stuff you'll see clips on and people will wax on philosophically about. And there's some good stuff there to be had, for sure. But the power of fundamentals are basics executed with consistency at a high quality, will always produce results. So word of mouth, of course, producing good results, operating honestly, ethically, quality results will always pull you good gigs. Not being shy to ask for referrals, not being shy to check in with someone. Like, if you know someone who is well connected in the community, periodically check in, say, hey, Corey, the property manager, happy Monday, dude. How's business? Hey, man, just want to check in. I'm trying to, you know, fill up the schedule here for some power washing gigs. Do any of your listings need a driveway freshen up for their listing photos? I can make that place look pretty for you. Let me know. I got you taken care of. Have a great day. Right? So I'm checking in. I'm in your face, but I'm not like a pushy salesman, but I'm a little pushy, I guess, but not, you know, the message I'm trying to broadcast is, hey, I haven't forgot about you. You know, I'm around if you need me.
Some beautiful advice. And a question I didn't pre-write out here, but I'm really curious about is, especially with you being a director, being the director of marketing for that roofing company, you gotta get good at sales. Like, obviously you gotta get those reps in. But what kind of resources can somebody use to get better at making those reps, hit the targeted muscle?
So if you can get a mentor or a teacher of some kind, huge, makes a big difference. I know that's not available to everybody. If you can find an equal or a partner or a fellow newbie and someone that you can practice with, drill, like, again, like in martial arts, we drill, right? Like, you know, me and a buddy, we both might not be great at a triangle choke, but if we sit there and we go back and forth practicing our triangle chokes on each other, we're going to get better at it. Dealing with objections. So like, if you and I decided, Corey, let's sharpen our sales skills together, you pitch me and I'm going to give you objections, and then you practice overcoming those objections. If you're willing to record yourself, that's huge as well. You know, there's a lot of great books and videos out there, a lot of killer content, and it's good to absorb and, you know, understand that there's, you know, sales authors, influencers, what have you, and they will have some killer nuggets, but that doesn't mean you have to drink up and absorb everything they say, because there's almost no sales coach or speaker that I agree 100% with everything they say, but they have some beautiful nuggets to take from each of them and put it together and kind of modify it into your own game.
So moving to like, to how you find great people, you employ several people. How do you find those great people to work for you? How do you know these guys are going to work out in your environment?
So, and again, there's a few different directions we can go down on that. Industries, you know, can be a little industry specific. So the way I would hire for the roofing business, that was commission only sales, was very different. than the way I hire for Rise and Clean, because it's a very different mindset from a, you know, a day-to-day cleaning tech versus someone who is a commission-only salesperson. So like for the day-to-day cleaning tech, I'm looking more for attitude than anything. Like even if they don't have the experience that I necessarily want, if the attitude is there, I can't teach attitude. At least I don't know how yet. If you can, I'm open to the hearing about it. But I can teach the technical side, or I have people who can teach the technical side of the cleaning business, window washing, what have you. So I look at attitude first. I look at, you know, the basic, the fundamentals. Are they on time? Are they respectful? Are they, you know, are they trying to appear professional? What does their resume say? For the cleaning business, I would ask things like, explain to me how, you know, you say you have cleaning experience. How do you clean a bathroom? Okay, you say you have power washing experience. You know, explain to me how the best way, you know, how do you mix your sodium hypochlorite? You know, to try to give some industry specific ones. Now, for if you're hiring commission salespeople, you're looking for someone a little bit more of an edge, with someone who's got a little more like that, like I want to go out and get a slice of life there. And, you know, you want to suss out their experience. But probably one of my favorite tactics to employ when hiring commission only salespeople, I always told them no, no matter how well they interviewed. By the time we were done, I'd be like, well, you know, you seem like you have a lot of experience. You seem like a really sharp guy and likable, but I'm just not sensing that you're a closer. So I don't think this is going to work. And then I would shut up and look at it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And a lot of people be like, well, Joe, it's nice meeting you. Thank you very much. I mean, and if you ever need anyone, you know, just let me know. And, you know, and I'm thinking like, no, I liked you. Fight back. I like you. Fight back. That's what I'm looking for. This is an objection. We're doing a sale right now. And I gave you an objection and you just fold. Man, that's too bad.
That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, you're literally making them close themselves.
Close me. Push, fight me. Push me back. You know, I have people be like, well, buddy, maybe you're not listening then, because I am a closer and here's why. And they'll go in and share their record with you. And I was the top salesman at this Ford car dealership and I did this. And I'm like, okay, all right, now we can go. Now we can talk.
Circling back to attitude, what things are you looking for on attitude? And I think, you know, maybe somebody could think, okay, this is an obvious, but I think a lot of people really don't understand how much attitude affects how people, you know, see them.
So I'm looking for positivity often, and I'm looking for signs of energy. Like if we're talking and someone is just lethargic and they're just not high energy and yeah, I did this in my last job, right? And they're forcing me to lead the conversation. Like, so tell me about that last job, right? Like if you're making me work to pull information out of you, that's already a red flag to me. If someone is already bad mouthing their previous employer, like, you know, I get there's some genuine things that might need to be brought up, but if I can tell you have a focus on negativity, red flag, right? But if someone seems positive, upbeat, they're like energetic and they're like, yeah, I really, you know, and they're honest, like, hey, maybe I don't have the most experience in what you're doing, but I would love to learn. I want to be a part of your company, right? Like I just hired a guy on not long ago who was telling me he, you know, reviewed our company and our social media and he loves seeing that we do things like go for hikes together, do like self-defense seminars and teach jujitsu and do all these extra things. He thought it was really cool and something he wants to be a part of. And he wants to be, you know, grow with the company. And I was like, dude, I'm sold. So like, you know, there's a desire there beyond like, I don't know. My mom says I have to get a job if I want to keep living in her home. So I've applied to whatever. It's like, all right, dude.
Yeah. You're not going to make the cut, buddy.
Exactly. So I'm looking for like energy, positivity, you know, coachability. Those are the raw materials that I can work with to refine someone. And, you know, I'm more than happy to give someone a chance because someone gave me a chance when I was very rough around the edges, to say the least, as a young man. And, you know, I'm a bit of a sucker for an underdog, I guess, because that was me. So, you know, again, like a positive attitude and good energy can open a lot of doors.
For Rise and Clean specifically, how do you make sure there's a quality of work being done when you know, you're not there to watch over your employees?
We always send a team of cleaning techs with one team lead, sometimes two for like really big projects and days and stuff like that. But every team has a team lead on site. So the team lead is responsible for, you know, we provide the vehicle, tools, supplies, uniform, all that. And then the team lead, everybody meets at our location in the morning. Team lead loads everybody up in the vehicle, make sure the car is prepared as it should be, has all the tools and supplies. They drive everybody from location to location. They tell them, okay, hey, so-and-so, you're on bathroom, so-and-so, you're living spaces, so-and-so, you're dusting, wiping, kitchen, yada, yada. And the team lead will participate in some cleaning as well, depending on the situation. And they'll do rounds. and they'll walk around and make sure everybody's quality. Like, hey, so-and-so, bathroom looks good. I just need you to go and get the back of the faucet there where you think nobody looks, but somebody will look, right? Like, I know you cleaned the toilet well, but you didn't reach back behind the toilet and get, you know. So we do have team leads on site who are responsible for quality checking, which it drastically increases our quality. I'm not going to say it's perfect. Of course, a team lead will miss things and we will talk to them. We've had some retraining at times. We had, you know, at one point we've had a temporary demotion for someone who was a team lead who had a few quality control issues. So we bumped them back to cleaning tech for a while, retrained them for a while. And then when they felt and we felt we were in agreement, and we would move them back into the team lead position with the understanding that, hey, if we see it diminishing in quality again, we're going to move you back to cleaning tech. But since that, you know, it's been great.
Kind of moving into the personal insight and your specific entrepreneurial journey toward the kind of like the end of this interview, you've mentioned how important taking action is. What did that look like when you were building Rise and Clean?
So, and this is a challenge in any business that you're building is, you know, when you have a job, when you work for someone else, you're given directions, you're given what to do. But if you're a commission only salesperson who's independent, or you're a business owner, you wake up every day and there's no one telling you what to do. So you have to figure out your own regimen. You have to treat yourself like you're an employee or you're your own manager, and you have to give yourself tasks. Like, I use a to-do list. And so, you know, and I'll divide those tasks. Like, here's things that need to be done eventually at some point. And then here's things that need to be done today. So, like, you know, for myself, I know that I have my most productive energy hours in the morning. So the first, you know, from 8 to noon to 1, maybe I'll focus on my, what I call high impact tasks. Like, what's going to move the needle? What will put jobs on the board? What will bring in money? What will take Rise and Clean or Logos to the next level? And those are the things that I will focus on in my prime working hours. And then towards the end of my day, my working day, for the remaining hours, I'm not as sharp as I am in the morning, I will do lower impact tasks that are a little more monotonous. And of course, I try to delegate as much as possible, either to my virtual assistant team for my other company, Logos Administrative Solutions, or I have an operational manager for Rise and Clean. We've got admin for Rise and Clean. We've got team leads. So I will try to delegate as much as I possibly can.
So you talked about having a mentor in the roofing industry. Do you mind talking a little bit about that, about maybe how you found your mentor? How'd that transpire?
When I first met my mentor, I was managing a Toys R Us at the time, and I hated that. I hated it. And then I just knew that I wanted to be more. I wanted to do more. Didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. So I knew I had to find another avenue. And I just started, I started looking up like meetup.com and networking groups and just finding things online and just going to things. I had no clue what they were. I went to some weird pyramid scheme meetings. I went to some weird, you know, I went to all kinds of weird stuff that are a waste of time. And eventually I went to some, it was like a, I don't know, maybe an insurance or a coffee company thing or something like that. And that's where I met my mentor, and he asked me what I was doing there. And I was like, I don't really know, man. I'm just trying to, find a way, trying to meet people. You know, I want an opportunity, and I'm just trying to go out and mix it up and find people and see what happens. And, you know, he's kind of giving me a thoughtful look like, huh, really? How old are you? Interesting. Okay. Do you want to have lunch tomorrow? And I was like, sure. Why not, man? I could use a free lunch. And we went to lunch together, and, you know, we started getting to know each other. He's asking about my background. You know, he's asking, you know, about who I am, what I'm looking for. And he got to a point where, you know, starts telling me about, you know, roofing sales and all the possibility and making money in it. And I was like, wow, that sounds amazing, man. I was like, but I got to be straightforward with you. I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. If you dig deep, you'll find there's a little bit of a legal activity in my youth that will come up, you know. So sorry, thank you for giving me a shot. But he's like, hey, man, I don't care about any of that. If you can produce results, that's all that matters. I won't pay you anything. Like, if you can sell roofs, I will give you a cut, and that's it. I'm like, okay, well, why not? So, you know, with zero experience or understanding of the roofing business, I started going out and knocking doors. And that's all I was doing at first was door knocking. And I was just failing left and right, day in, just putting in my dues, I guess, thickening my skin for rejection. You know, eventually I started closing some deals, making some money. Then before you know it, I had people wanting to learn from me, and that's where I started bringing on my own salespeople and started building my first sales team. And then I moved on to, you know, now he's wanting me to go and open branches and then, you know, bring on more salespeople and teach them to do what I've been doing. And, you know, that's how it grew from there, so to speak.
There's this, I think people on the internet, they look and they try to find a mentor. And how do I find a mentor? How do I find a mentor? And it's like, well, you're not, nobody's going to come to you. You're not going to be saved where you know, like where you went out and you were part of groups and you were actively looking to better yourself and happened to find one that way.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I've discussed with people before. And, you know, to a degree, yes, I was going out, but to a degree, I also got lucky running into somebody who was just wanting to hear me out and who I guess I struck their curiosity. You know, I have had a similar conversation. People are like, hey, how do you get a mentor? I'll tell you, one of the first biggest things is you got to be able to bring something to the table, right? Because they don't want to just, you know, a lot of mentors, they're very generous people, but they're not charities. And if you're not bringing something to the table, I mean, all you want to do is take. Why would they want to bring you on the table if all you think is me? So, you know, think about what you can bring to the table for them. And if you don't have much going on, you don't have contacts, you don't have money, you don't have experience, what do you have? You have time, you have energy, you have willingness to learn. And if you can demonstrate or communicate to a potential mentor that, hey, maybe my value is limited now, but I can help them to see that in the future, you can, you know, you're a seed that you can sprout into a tree that will bear them fruit, then they're more likely to invest their time, effort, and energy into you. Because someone who is a mentor, that means they've made it a ways in their business, they've probably got a lot going on. And for them to carve out a slice of their time for you for free, it's a big ask. So you got to be able to offer something in return for their time, effort, and energy.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what you see on the internet is how do I get the mentor to teach me this and this and this? And it is, it's all about me.
Yes, agreed.
Yep. There's a question I love asking everyone I interview because it can either go two ways, either no, never, or yes, definitely. What was your childhood like? Were you always wanting to be a business owner? Did you always have that entrepreneurial drive?
I didn't always want to be a business owner necessarily. I suppose I had a bit of an entrepreneurial drive out of necessity. You know, I wasn't always, I was a little more free range growing up. My parents were involved in their own lives, I guess. And I was left to my own devices a lot. So I grew up in Michigan. So like there was a point in time, you know, as a kid where I was going out and collecting cans, 10 cents a piece in Michigan. I don't know if that's still the case, it's been a long time. But to, you know, buy, you know, food, it was just like snacks and soda, really, for my brother and I, my younger brother and I, because we'd be left to our own devices for long periods of time. So I'd go and collect cans and turn them in for food money, pizza or whatever. You know, I dug ditches. I did lawns. I installed a pond at one point. I raked yards. You know, when I was young, I sold candy in school. When I got a little older, got involved in distributing things that weren't candy. So, you know, my path was a circuitous one, to say the least. I got into some legal trouble and got to a point where I decided I need to straighten my life and change everything. And that's why I moved to Chicago at one point. That's where I met my mentor. I was about 21, 22, and realized I just need to get away from my life, my social atmosphere that I was in, and I moved away and just started trying to reinvent who I was, because I did not like who I was becoming. And you know, that's kind of the start of my entrepreneurial, more serious entrepreneurial path.
Okay, so there's a lot of hard work and a lot of pivoting.
Oh yeah.
Coming to the last few questions here, what advice would you give to someone looking to start their own business?
I would say first look within and make sure you actually want to start a business, or does just the idea of starting a business sound good to you? Because it is not all glamour. There is risk, there is pain, there is discomfort, there is sacrifice. And if you still want to, you have to identify a few core actions and understand that no one is going to come to save you. No one is going to push you. You have to push yourself. You have to discipline yourself. You have to manage yourself. You have to figure out a core group of actions that will put money on the board. And you have to repeat them, even when they don't seem to be immediately giving you the results you desire.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share that we didn't, or add that we didn't cover?
I would say, man, I guess I could go on because I can nerd out about this kind of stuff. you know, dialing in your lead generation is wildly important. Knowing, you know, when to dive into your work and then when to resurface and disconnect for a little bit. having some kind of hobby or social atmosphere that just kind of forces you to disconnect. Again, for me, it's martial arts. Like I said, I'm also a jiu-jitsu instructor that forces you to be, you know, to grapple with people, to fight, to learn. You can't hold the phone in your hand while you do this. So you have to be in the moment. So it feels like the rest of the world is gone for that hour to 90 minute session. Have something like that. Bonus points if your hobby can also contribute to your business, because I've generated a lot of business through my jiu-jitsu community as well. So, you know, learning how to kind of cross streams there when appropriate, but still be able to disconnect is very useful. Always, I would say, always have plans for the, you know, have the next phase in mind, right? Like, don't get to a point where you just think you're good, but have phases of plans and recognize, like, all right, so right now I'm in a grind season. I'm in a grind phase where I got to focus on putting money on the board. Then when I put the money on the board, when I get to the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 mark, then I invest in the big piece of equipment or the software or the coaching. And then that will allow me to ascend to the next level. And then I'm back in a grind phase. I'm using the new equipment or the new software. And then I'm putting more money on the board and I'm filling up the war chest, so to speak, for the next big purchase or investment that will allow me to evolve to the next stage.
Where can people find more information about you and your services?
Well, I'm always available on Facebook, Joe Bryant on Facebook, Rise and Clean, www.riseandcleanpro.com. Also on Facebook, on Google My Business. We service the West DFW area, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Texas, Azle, Springtown, Weatherford. I'm on X as well, Joseph Bryant 87. I'm on X there as well. Logos Administrative Solutions, also on Facebook, on X. That's my virtual assistant agency. And that spawned from Rise and Clean, essentially. And then, of course, if you're ever in the Dallas, Fort Worth area, I'm at Genesis Jiu-Jitsu. I teach the morning class, 6:30 a.m., Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Joe, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for meeting and doing this interview. It was an honor.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to connect your core. I'm glad I took a risk on a mysterious Reddit connection here.
Appreciate it, Joe.